the pornography of violence. It's a horrible thing. And the media are really involved in that. If it bleeds, it leads. And if you report on one story of a serial killer killing three people, then you want a story the following month of a serial killer killing five, killing 10, killing 20. We become inured to killing. So we want the grisly details. We want to connect emotionally in some way. Either we're interested in that, we're disgusted in that. Media and the news is not about what do you think anymore. It's about how do you feel. And that is set up beautifully for reporting on serial killers. And so to ITV's three-part drama, Dez, which is about Dennis Nilsson, who was captured in 83 after killing, it's thought, around 15 people, maybe 10 to 15. We don't know exactly how many, at his suburban homes. And since that, in 83, I mean, bear in mind we had had a few years before that, the tale of the Yorkshire Ripper. You know, you've got Peter Sutcliffe, who has the, who looks, you know, quite, as the media would play it, quite demonic, with, you know, big dark beard, dark hair, and, you know, the murders were brutal, and he was someone who was out and about. He wasn't luring people to his house, he was out and about. So, you know, young women were in danger just walking out of their freedom, and that was, that added extra fear to that. And the media played that, and I remember that time. Dennis Nilsson was different. The very reason why it was so interesting, of course there were gory details, there were the details of the bodies in the house, the head boiling on the stove, there were those gory details. But if he had been someone who conformed to our mentally ill, or in inverted commas, evil, which is used all the time, and I don't believe that word really exists anymore because the way it's been used recently. If he conformed to our thoughts around that, our media-based thoughts around that, we might not have been interested as much. But at the time, one of the main interests in the media and people who were talking about this case was that, wasn't he ordinary? Seemed like an ordinary bloke. People said he was lovely. No one said he was odd or weird. Everyone said he was lovely to speak to. Civil servant, you know. Can't you trust a civil servant? Works for the government. Crown officer. Can't believe it would be him. And in the meantime, what we've had are the ramping up of serial killers. Programmes on the TV, you know, those digital, you know, programmes. Things like the most gruesome serial killers. It's not enough to be a serial killer anymore. To get in the top 10, you need to have killed a load and gruesomely. You know, things like the Fred West murders, appalling murders, many of them, sexual in nature, degradation. The way this was done in the home with children there. And the way that you've got Rose West as a kind of Myra Hindley figure, egging on Fred West, apparently, according to reports. And the way he wasn't conventionally good looking. You know, Ted Bundy was interesting because he killed, was interesting, two people, because, yes, he killed a lot of people, but he was good looking. That's what made it interesting. Appalling, isn't it? But that's the way it works. With Fred West, you know, he wasn't conventionally good looking, so looked a bit odd. And there has been a drama around that. Partially played for laughs, it seems to me, when I saw it. So that's what we're battling against now. Serial killers can't just be serial killers. They need to be cannibalistic serial killers with other degradations, serial killers who do it differently. Appalling, but that's what a capitalization of TV does for you. When you need to earn your cash, you need to ramp up the bleeding, because if it bleeds, it leads. And so that was the issue with the three-part ITV drama, Des, which of course Dennis Nilsson liked to be called. It was okay. It was well made. It was well acted. You had a triumvirate of actors at the top who can do this and work their socks off to do it. Lovely work. That's not the issue here. The issue is that fundamentally, Dennis Nilsson was intelligent and arrogant and tried to string people along, but really he was boring, and it was the boredom of those cases which interested people. The way he killed people and kept the bodies with them, watching TV with them, talking to them, because he was lonely. We don't want to think of a serial killer who was lonely, who killed people because he was lonely and wanted to stay with them all the time. We want them bathed in blood, demonic. We want them with faults, of course we do. They have to have faults. But we want them to conform to the way we feel they're, in inverted commas, evil. Dennis Nilsson didn't seem evil. He seemed suburban and ordinary. So this series is really takes place in two worlds. The first world is Dennis Nilsson being interviewed by the police, talking to his biographer, and his book is based on Killing for Company by Brian Masters, which is regarded as a definitive book on the subject. So we see the way that Nilsson plays the police, plays his biographer. And the other world is a sort of cut-priced prime suspect, which we've seen so often, you know, around the table in the police room. What have we got? Here's the incident board. All of that stuff. Those tropes are very easy and similar. And, you know, because it's set in the past, everyone's smoking and everything's a bit grainy and, you know, it's a bit unreconstructed. It's not life on Mars, but, you know, it's easy to do that. So Prime Suspect did this very well, but they did it first. Well, of course, the Sweeney did it first, really. But as far as looking back, Prime Suspect did it first, really. And everything that comes after that will be referred to that. See how easy it is? I just did it. I just reached for it. So you've got all those tropes. Person at the head of the inquiry who's got family problems. We see that at the beginning and we don't see it again. It's almost as if it's, well, we need to make him a bit troubled. Don't need to see that. People who are working hard to get data. Those characters are not really fleshed out here. What you don't have is two or three people working with him who are really interesting. You have characters working with him, but they're not well written enough for us to really care about them. We've got a police chief who is keen to close the thing down, keen for people, for the media not to be involved. The usual stuff. And this is one of the reasons why shows like Scott and Bailey, if we're talking about police person shows, are so interesting, because at the top of that, you've got a boss played by Emilio Bulmore who actually has come from the ranks and he's still linked to that and takes chances. Here you've got the usual tired tropes. You've got the boss who then refers to a higher boss who wants to shut the thing down, who can't afford it, who doesn't want anything to get out of hand, all of that. So that's not all that interesting. And we finish with Nilsson, well, the end of the second episode is Nilsson pleading not guilty, which is a nice cliffhanger. But the third episode is all about the trial. We know what happens. It's all about whether or not he can be proved to be mentally ill or have diminished responsibility when he was was doing the killings or whether they were premeditated, and therefore it would show that he was not mentally ill when he killed those people. And we do get an awful lot of the trial, but you don't get any big performances from the barristers, really. And here's something that we've become bored with as well, because we've had so many big barristers and all of that, and courtroom dramas are so important, you know, and all of that, and so big at the moment. But the barristers on the prosecution and defence, the Crown prosecution and defence sides, don't really command our attention too much. So the third episode is sort of going through the motions of getting this thing over with. It doesn't have any kind of last minute information, doesn't have anything in the courtroom, no one gets up and shouts murderer or anything like that. There's nothing heightened, it's all pretty come day go day. And that's the way I felt throughout. There are some really nice performances, though, having said that, and it's a shame because, you know, as Dennis, you've got, playing Dennis Nilsson, David Tennant. And I think this performance might be overlooked, and it's something special, so it'll be a shame because he looks like Nilsson to begin with. He's got a very nice wig, looks good. And he plays him with a real intelligence, a real hubris, and a real arrogance. He's all mixed up. He knows he's going to an inverted commas hell. He knows he hurt people. But he also hates the papers, loves the papers, hates the attention, loves the attention. But he really wants company. There's a lovely moment when Brian Masters goes to visit him in jail at the end of the three episodes, and he says, why weren't any of the victims named in the book? And Brian Masters said, it wasn't going to be about them or about you, and I've stuck to my word. And very arrogantly, Dennis Nilsson says, well, everyone's telling their story, when do I get to tell my story? And Brian Masters gets up and goes because he can't continue this conversation, and Dennis Nilsson says, come and see me again. Which Masters did for the next 10 years, we understand. But it's all about loneliness. And, you know, Ian Forster said, only connect. This was, it seems, Nilsson's way of making a connection. And it's awful that he did it that way. But this is about the breakup of society. He's on his own. And as Thatcher told us in the 80s, there is no such thing as society. There are individual people. Yes. That's what she thought. And that's what you get when people are not making any connections with friends, with family, with a group who can make you feel different about yourself. So the performance from David Tennant is lovely. He doesn't ask for our forgiveness. He doesn't ask for us to like him. It's a very spiky, brittle, and in some way disconnected performance, and that's exactly the way that I would expect that. Works incredibly well. He's in no way likable, but you understand how intelligent he is. On the other side of this, you've got the police chief, and the police chief is played, it's Peter Jay, is played by Daniel Mays. He's a real character, so you need to be careful with that. And as I say, you've got the, well, things are difficult at home bit right at the top of the first episode, which we don't need. And the great thing about Daniel Mays is he plays that kind of feeling of being slightly off the pace very well. Not perturbed, but slightly behind the pace and always concerned something else is going to happen. And that feeds in very well to this world of the police, where they were desperately looking for new victims, and Dennis Nilsson wasn't giving them any new victims. He was refusing to talk after a while because he wanted his attention, I suspect. So it's a shame that what we've got is the hackneyed police scenes of him addressing them. Come on, lads, you know, or they're going to shut us down. Which we've had before so often, because it is actually a good performance. And the third leg of this tripod is Jason Watkins, as Brian Masters, who wrote the book. It's a lovely performance. It's a partially florid, reined in performance. And Jason Watkins, who's, you know, I'm so pleased he's had so much work recently because he deserves it, can do that so well. You know, Brian Masters says it's important for me to write this book. You know, he's gay and has a partner, and so it's important for me to write the book because these are gay killings, and if I don't write the book, somebody else will. And the papers were already writing that kind of degenerate sort of titillating situation, because they didn't have much to be titillating about, and that would be one of those things. And I remember this at the time. So this is why the book is killing for company. You know, the whole thing is based around that book. And in a way, Nilsson isn't the star here. He says, the story is not about you. The story is about a situation where people feel they need to kill to keep people with them. Unfortunately, what the drama gives us is, this is Dennis Nilsson, what a monster. And then proceeds to show us that he isn't. It's a real shame. It was a non-event. And what you do need to do is break out of those familiar tropes. But you see, in TV and film at the moment, people are so frightened that there's going to be a failure and they're going to lose their jobs. If the production company had just said, well, you know, what we'll do is we won't write about this. Luke Neal, who wrote episodes 1 and 2, and Kelly Jones, episode 3, and probably, you know, it will be under the guidance of production companies and ITV themselves. If they'd have said it's not about him, it's about the world around him, and why that? And we do see people sleeping rough. You know, and the poor and the homeless will always be with us, we are told. It's a terrible situation. If they'd have concentrated on that, it would be a different story. But unfortunately, they got pulled into this usual, he's a serial killer, aren't we interested in that stuff? And the whole idea was, at the time, we were interested because he wasn't interesting. So it could be a next door neighbour. It could be anybody. You never know. Could be the most basic, uninteresting, moribund, anodyne person. The drama doesn't give us that, because there isn't enough there to ramp up the satanic, evil interest in a serial killer. And what it also doesn't do is say, he was a serial killer because of this. Because that would be something quite dangerous for them to do. To talk about society, and then to make the connection that he was lonely, would in some ways go some way towards making us feel sorry for him. And that takes real balls to do. Unfortunately, ITV didn't seem to have any here. And if you ain't got the balls, you shouldn't be giving us a show about serial killers. Unfortunately, Dennis Nilsson doesn't conform to our media view. And so this passed with very little fanfare and nary a ripple. Such a shame. In this show, Dennis wasn't enough of a menace, and that confounded those writers and ITV. 3 out of 5 for a ramble rating, and I won't be seeing it again, because I already know what happened, and I didn't find out anything new. Such a shame. Ta-ta.